Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Now here the angels of God are telling, or the angel of the Lord is telling the disciples, these men of Galilee, that Jesus is going to return in like fashion as they just saw him depart. Let's widen the scope a little bit and begin in verse 9 of this text, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up," that is Christ in his post-resurrection ministry, "and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." That's the two angels here, "which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So Jesus came in the flesh, was bodily resurrected, and Jesus is coming back in like fashion, Saints. In fact, the Bible says that immediately after the tribulation of these days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory," notice, "and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other," Matthew 24, 29 through 31. We're talking about Jesus is coming just as he promised. And he's coming with power, notice, and great glory. Notice, great glory. It's going to be absolutely cataclysmic, like nothing has ever been in history. You see, in God's Word, the Bible, we've been given knowledge of the future, including this prophetic statement that he's coming back in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 1, the Bible says Jesus is coming back with fire, absolutely the power that we're talking about here. Let me read that to you. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Amen. Jesus, again, Matthew 24, 30, is coming back in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we have these prophetic utterances, every one that will come to pass, even as every prophetic utterance of the past, not one of them has failed. They have all come to pass. Isaiah 34, 16, none of them, not one, will ever fail. In fact, Jesus came to the earth exactly like the Bible foretold hundreds and even thousands of years previous to his coming. Jesus was born of a virgin. We read that hundreds of years before the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, that a virgin shall conceive, Micah 5 verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, the exact city where the Messiah would be born, and of a virgin fulfilled. So that Jesus spoke through the prophets and told us that everybody on earth, that he was coming, and he did. When he came to the earth, Jesus foretold that he was going to die, and he did. He foretold that he was going to rise again 3 days later, and he did. And beloved, he told us that he's coming back, and how he's coming back, and he's going to do that because he's never, ever not kept his promise. Amen. So Christians exclusively from the Word of God are in the know about what's coming, that is, Christ, and how he's coming, and future events. Jesus is coming back. Proof that the Bible came from God is fulfilled prophecy. The Bible foretells future events with absolute accuracy, often hundreds of years before they occur, and that sets it apart from any so-called other holy book, none of which have this element of prophecy and fulfilled prophecy. That's the number one thing that tells us the Word of God is the only book, the Bible, that is actually from God. All the others are counterfeits. Only a true and living God has such power to foretell the future. In fact, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says that he declares the end from the beginning. Only God can know the future. In fact, notice Isaiah 42, 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. See, before they actually happen, he tells us of them. He tells us what's coming. It's the news before the news. Here is what is not seen yet and has said to come to pass, because no one of these divine promises shall fail. So Isaiah 34, 16, none of these divine promises, none of these, the promises of God, shall fail. Now let me reread the statement I read a minute ago. Here is what is not yet seen, yet has been said and shall come to pass, because, so he's speaking those, declaring those things that be not as though they were, because he is God. And he foretells these things. He gives us prophetic promises, the seen, the unseen, the unfolding, and the not yet seen. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? Because he hadn't come yet. But we anticipate that, fervently waiting upon the Lord, as the way we live. For the things which are seen are temporal, those things which we behold with our physical eyes. But the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18, speaking of the promises to come, the things which are not seen, as he puts it here, Paul, the prophetic utterance of the Lord, the utterances which are coming, of them, Isaiah says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read these prophecies, and the prophetic word of God. It's all prophetic because he knows the end from the beginning, and he foretells it. No one of these shall fail. See, foretold fact, Jesus Christ is coming to crush all rebellion, all rebels, and to unseat all despotic rulers, and to rule his earth. He's taking the government back upon his shoulders, ready or not. I love Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. Okay, Isaiah 13, 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Notice the power in which he's coming. It's going to be full of cruel wrath, fierce anger. to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. The Lord is going to dethrone all and take his rightful seat of rulership on his earth. Notice Daniel 7, verse 9. Behold, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That is the man-made thrones where men had lifted themselves up. And the Ancient of Days did sit. That is, he's going to rule over all. And notice he's going to cast down, quote unquote, all of these thrones of men. The future, eternity, is reserved for Christ and for all who are his, and only them who endure with Christ to the end of their earthly life. As Jesus said, you must endure to the end. And Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, Job said, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Why? Because it's his. He made it and all things therein. Amen. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1 verse 16. Man's dominion, though, that we see now set up in governments and et cetera across God's green earth, is fleeting. History is littered with kingdoms that ruled and then were trashed, destroyed, diminished, and made extinct. Notice Revelation 11:15 foretells this. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. The kingdoms of our of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. So we're getting ready to read here a taste of how the kingdoms of God's world in this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back in spectacular judgment, crushing under his holy feet all wickedness, wicked doers, and the kingdoms of this world. Notice Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11 through 16, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Notice he's coming back to make war. The Bible tells us in Exodus 15:3 that the Lord is a man of war. Verse 12, Revelation 19, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Get the picture. When you tread a winepress, you crush those grapes underfoot. That's a picture of the divine power that's getting ready to come down upon all rebels and rebellion on this earth. And then finally, the last verse in this passage, Revelation 19, 11 through 16, it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what we're reading can be summated in the truth that all things, all these things are going to be forcefully put under the feet of the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. As we read or we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus is coming with finality to crush the head of the serpent, that is Satan, and all who have rebelled with him. And by the way, there's no neutral ground, friends. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And let me add this. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him before men, he is going to be ashamed of you on judgment day. If there you were accused of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, not a churchgoer, but a Christian, a true disciple, would there be evidence enough to prove it? Do you have the fruit to prove that you truly know heaven's King? Have you been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that happens when you bow your life before the Lord in utter humility and admit to him what he already knows, that you are a vile sinner. You have lied. You have stolen. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, to blaspheme him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. We've all broken the law of God, and we are absolutely 100% fully guilty. And the only way of wisdom is to settle out of court so that you don't have to stand before the Almighty in the Supreme Court of the universe and give account for your sins that you refuse to have him forgive through the blood of Jesus before it was too late. And you died in your own sins, and now you're going to pay for them for all eternity as the Lord of heaven and earth tells you, quote, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, it wasn't prepared for you, but you chose to rebel like the third of the angels that were kicked out of heaven, and you're going to hell with them. Okay, so the best thing to do, again, is to repent and receive Jesus. Lay down your life and follow him. Settle out of court now before it's too late. Jesus awaits you. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And let me tell you, sin will make you labor and be heavy laden, full of guilt, misery, and shame. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. That's the great Savior who desires to save you, but he requires that you come to him and admit what he already knows and what he sees all of, and that's your sin. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Christ. Turn fully to him in repentance and confess him as the Lord of your life. Hebrews 2:8 says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, that is Christ. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So it's coming that all these things are going to be put under the government of Jesus Christ. He owns this house, if you will, or this earth, because he made it. And by reason of ownership, creatorship, he owns it and is returning to take his rightful, full authority over it once again. Nothing can stop it. Anyone who isn't in agreement with the Son of God will be crushed by him, crushed under the power and weight of his holy divine justice. Psalm chapter 2, 11 and 12, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. This is the side of God you don't want to see, friend. And yet all rebels will receive his holy wrath. They are without excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Notice Psalm 50, verse 22 says, now consider this, ye that forget God. You don't have time for God, right? Lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Also, the word of God says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So God's calling you, my friend, to make peace with him before it's too late. He already gave you the full sacrifice for your sins in the blood of Jesus. He paid for all of your sins through the blood of his Son on the cross. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and that he made him, Jesus, to be sin, or the sin sacrifice for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, friend, Jesus was forsaken for but a moment in time in order that you might be forgiven. He loves you and is ready to forgive all and is waiting for you to come to him. You see, the true remnant saint of Christ is looking for Christ, not a man. Jesus Christ will be the last man standing, if you will, of all rulers, because he's the king of all those little kings and the lord of all those little lords. He's the boss of all bosses. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 6, that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the appearing. Jesus is coming, beloved, just like he said he was. The appearing, until the appearing of the our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the only what? Supreme ruler. That's what potentate means. Jesus is the only, the blessed and only potentate. He's the only supreme ruler, not that little fraud counterfeit over there in Rome, a sinner dressed up in a costume named the Pope. He has no authority. He's not even a Christian. So it says here, who is the blessed and only potentate or supreme ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only, in other words, exclusively, hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. 1 Timothy 6. You see, Jesus Christ alone is the supreme ruler of his universe, of his creation, every iota of which he created and sustains. Colossians 1:15-17. This is why the word of God says that, quote, the government shall be upon his shoulder. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, this is prophetic of Christ hundreds of years before he came the first time, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, his rule, and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You see, in the scope of past, present, and future history, notice his story, history, nothing is over till Jesus wins, and he will, in crushing fashion, return to reestablish his authority on his earth. He will soon bring peace through strength. As the ultimate capital P peacemaker, Jesus said, blessed are those who make peace, or peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Okay, many times in life, peace must be made by force. That's the only way it can be established in this fallen world. As we are reading this of the crushing violence that the Lord is going to bring, we must recognize that this judgment is coming upon the wicked. But in contrast, the Lord is going to preserve his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So from Genesis to Revelation, from Adam to Christ first, and then second coming, and then the wrath of the Lamb. Notice the wrath of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 through 28, Revelation. We're going to read that in a minute about the wrath of the Lamb. But notice how Jesus is coming back. More details about it right here. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 22. For as in Adam all die, that is, Adam sinned against God and was separated from him. And at that moment, even though he was made eternal, death was incurred upon him, and his years on this earth became a temporary thing. He became mortal, if you will. For as in Adam all die, and that was brought in by sin, right? Yes, it was incurred by sin. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming, then come at the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, there it is again, he's going to put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till his enemies hath, he hath put his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, friends, no one can hide. How about all these world rulers we read about in Psalm 2 and how, and that we see today, and how their wealth has seemingly kept them hidden, if you will? Well, they're not hidden at all. God sees it all. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. When the wrath of the Lamb comes down, as we're reading about today all over the Bible, these vile, unrepentant rebels, George Soros, if he makes it till then, and all Klaus, the devil, Schwab, etc. Many of you know who these animals are. These unrepentant, these are enemies of God, by the way, rebels will be crying out for the mountains to collapse on them. If you've ever heard the term, it's going to be biblical, that fits it. As the saying goes, no one escapes except those who are truly Christ. Notice Revelation 6 as we come in for a landing here, friends. Revelation 6, 15 through 17, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, all levels of leadership, and the mighty men and every bondman, every employee, every slave, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and in the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice the wrath, not of the lion, but of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What a powerful coming Christ is going to bring. Jesus Christ is the boss of all bosses. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, these armies of the Antichrist, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Revelation 19:15. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming back, saints. And as we read about earlier in Isaiah 13:9, he's coming back with cruel wrath and fierce anger. He's going to lay desolate the land. And he shall destroy all the sinners out of it. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The only access we have to you is through his blood. And we thank you for your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. and his perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins, which brought us and the whole world back to you. Thank you, Lord, for creating, for finding, and for saving me into your eternal family through your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Please do that deeper work in my life beginning right now, Lord, as you alone can do. I pray that this would happen in all of your saints, O God. And I praise you now for continuing in your people that good work that you began when you saved us, Lord, perfecting that which concerns our lives and causing us to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.